There's so many things that we can remember about our parents, so many things that they've taught us. This is also a time of year where people miss their parents. Some of our parents have passed away and have long gone. Others might not be in great health. And so it's a time of sadness for many people. Family isn't always as appreciated as we may think. There is a huge movement, liberalism, feminism, you can call it individualism. There's all kinds of isms out there that preach against the family. As a matter of fact, they would call for to dissolve, completely destroy the family in order for true progress to be made. It's one famous feminist leader. Her name is Lucy something or other. I forgot her last name. But she says that the family is a beacon of oppression to the progress of women in this world. That is the tone of many of the attacks of the family. The attacks of the family comes in many different things. We look at children nowadays. We don't know where to identify them. Sometimes the children look like the leaders and the leaders look like the children in the house. Then we have gender identification issues, where we have the lesbian, gay, and bisexual and transgender movement completely and totally making mass confusion over the family and what a family really is. And so we have to constantly redefine what a family truly is. So the family is under attack in this world. We're not exactly the nuclear family by any way, shape, or form. Goal. And there's a very different type of attack. And before that, why don't we open up in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do come before you and pray, Heavenly Father, that at this moment, your Son, the Lord, that we need to take great care of the family unit because we need to embrace that truth. I pray that throughout this time, you would fill me with your Spirit, all walks of life, Lord God, wherever we're at spiritually, clearly communicate that would exalt your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians, we'll read verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light clearly. Paul here talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of his saving. We'll start in verse 18. Not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, and the wife see that she reverence her husbands. Children, father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with. Let's stop right there. What in Pritel do you think 2 Corinthians chapter in every way? Paul revealed to us in 2 Corinthians chapter Satan. And the mission by Satan is to blind the eye that they do not get saved, but that the Lord Jesus does not receive any more. Somebody gets saved. That is another pair of lips worshiping his precious name. Blinding through busyness, through work, through money, through. But he does everything he can to make sure that they are blind. Why? That's what he wants them to do. They want the enemy wants the unbelief to a depraved spiritual condition where they're going to back He would do anything and everything that he has to, including success, health, the Savior. He would also put in front of your face the grade of finding the right answer. How many times have you not heard this question? Why does God in this world? My question would be, why does God allow so much grace in this world? But besides that, they wholeheartedly reject the answer. So it's the rejection of the answer. It's the reason God allows so many horrible things to happen, because people want it that way. They want the world. For the Christian family, you need to understand, far beyond the walls of where you live, every characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, wives, women, mothers, preach the submission of Christ. The enemy is doing any kind, the unbelieving world, to who Jesus Christ is. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this, that it may be well with thee. There's a couple of, you know, you have a mission. You have somebody that preaches the gospel. You can scream out Jesus by the way you parents without question. You speak of the Lord. Go to John chapter 14, verse 31. Oh, children, you guys got an increase. Be able to show the person of Christ in what you do and how you do with your parents. No means because you're a kid that you don't have your work cut out for you in the Lord Jesus. You have to be very careful, because what you do brings honor or takes away honor. 31, Jesus says something very important, and you should be able to say in your home for the glory of Jesus Christ. Look at this. This is the world may know that I love the Father, do. Let's go backwards. You may know. That's what you do, children. Family. You do what your parents tell you to do. You're obedient. The Bible said to, right? We read Ephesians chapter 6. Obey your parents on the earth. But that's not the only reason. So the world may know God loves me. Because I love my parents, because I want to love the Lord. That's an incredible conversation. And I'm sure that to come a time somewhere in your life where you said, you do everything your mother and your father said, the world to know that I love Jesus. So that's why I do what I do. The obedience of Christ is something you want to show the world. The name of Jesus by doing that. That's one thing. Of a woman to a man is scorned. As a matter of fact, they're saying that I want to obey my husband. Do you know that I've had Christians ask, and in the ceremony, I'm like, I can't marry you. Fry than finding somebody to marry. You guys got problems already. Understand. Because their minds have been programmed from preschool. We're, you know, even in the church, we say we're equal, right? There's no woman, there's no man. Very true. And although there is equality, God has given row that. Even in the Trinity, there's equality and yet authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. Keep the ordinances as I deliver. A few words in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I... You need to remember, this is a doctrinal statement you ought to be dogmatic about. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So, right? I shouldn't have a problem with that. Christ is my head. Christ is the head of the woman is the man. And the problem with that. He didn't have any problem. The woman that you can understand... It is about equality, and yet there's authority in the eyes of God. And as far as authority in my home, Lisa has authority, and I have authority. Jesus Christ is my authority, and I am Lisa's authority. That teaches. It's the type of authority that counts. What kind of authority? He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He's truthful. He is a creator. He does all things for miserable sinners like us. That's the kind of God in authority. How about the woman and how about the man in Christ? Well, let's see what kind of a heals. He's compassionate. He is kind. He is, and he will go above and beyond the call of duty, even sacrificing his own self, shedding. He rose from the dead. He has the ministry of intercession for you and I when we have the audacity of Savior that is my head. Should I have a problem with that kind of authority? Absolutely not. Different color, isn't it? You would want to think so, but it's not true. The call to godly authority is a big one. It is one that I, many a times, godly man, to be a godly father and to be a godly husband, to exercise servitude in your mind, in your thoughts, and in your soul every moment of the day for everyone in that household that God has entrusted to you. It's a very humbling position. It's not one that should call for pride and arrogance. It is not one in which you would show strength. It is one in which you show love, gentleness, joy, and happiness, where you're constantly a teacher so that your woman will never have a problem with that authority. It's one in which every man that puts his faith and trust in Christ should strive for, because is it not true that our entire mission as Christians is to be conformed to the image of Him who died for us? And the more I'm like Christ, I am absolutely certain the better the husband and father I can be. That is key. So then we bump into fathers and women. Who would have a problem with that authority figure? But you know, we do have that situation where we're not perfect on this side of heaven, are we? We do make mistakes, don't we? So my dear sisters, I guess your work is cut out for you too. That regardless of our imperfections, you are submissive to your husband for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians teaches, right? To be submissive to your husbands as unto the Lord. How submissive you are to your husband communicates your submission to Christ Himself. That's a tall order, especially with imperfect bums like myself. That's not an easy task. I admire you, sisters in Christ. My respect is out to you, sisters. I learn from you. I adore when I see it because I know it's not easy. But brothers, we should make it easier for them, shouldn't we? This should be an easy task for them, one in which they are almost encouraged to be submissive so that they can cry out to the whole world, I am submissive to my man because he's like Christ. And that's not a very hard thing. If you have a problem with submission, maybe your man needs Jesus. You should be able to say that freely. But the how-tos become a little difficult, don't they? I can stay here and preach about what fathers should do and shouldn't do and how a husband ought to act with his wife. But you know, why don't we just take it to another level and listen to what the Word of God says. There's a certain resource that we need. A certain resource that I'm afraid as time goes by, and it could just be me and my critically judgmental heart, maybe my opinionated soul, I don't know. But there seems to be a problem with us tapping into a resource that Christ has given us, His Holy Spirit. We don't talk about that, do we? We don't talk about a filling of the Spirit of the living God. And because we're not constantly screaming out to God for a filling of His Spirit, we lack those things that the Spirit gives. What are those things? Go to Galatians 5. Well, you know them, but you know this is the Word, so I'm going to say it anyway. But the fruits of the Spirit, verse 22 in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. But the fruits of the Spirit, look at the first word. Love. Love. You know what love means. Every time you see the word love and God in the Scriptures, there's another word added to it. For God so loved the world that He... In Galatians 2:20, the life that I live. Come on. Live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, right? And we have another one in Galatians. I believe it's I think it's Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sure it's Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself as an offering for us. So according to God, every time there's love and God, anywhere in the word, you see give. And we have to, in order for us to love, we need to give. In order to give, we need to have something. You know, I tell my kids I want to give you a dollar, but I don't have a dollar. I can't give you anything. I can have the heart to give you a dollar. I just don't have a dollar to give you. It could be my desire, my will to give you, but if I have empty pockets, I can't give you anything. And in order for us to constantly have our pockets full, God has given us a resource. And this is not a, you know, name it and claim it, health and wealth, prosperity thing. But just, you know, go to Ephesians chapter 5. And be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The young people learned about this in the last youth ministry that we had last Friday. And I was encouraged to hear that verse because we need to learn, first of all, that we can be filled. Secondly, we need to be filled. And thirdly, that God has given us the resources in order to do it. Every believer, regardless of where you are in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, can cry out for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And in order to love, once you get that first fruit, there's joy. Got that fruit. There's peace. You got that fruit. There's long suffering. There's gentleness. There's goodness. There's meekness. There's temperance. Against there's no such law. And I am going to tell you that if husband and fathers, you have these fruits at your disposal in order to give and exercise your love and begin to give these fruits, I'm going to tell you something. That submission will never be an issue in your home. Submission will never be an issue in your home. What if I have all that and I give all that and still I get a disobedient person? Like, you mean like us to God? Then there's long suffering, isn't there? It's part of the fruit. It's part of the fruit. Disobedience in my home turns into opportunities of teaching. This is where they learn not only what they did wrong, but how it offended God and how you can make it right. And what things you can avoid to make the same mistake. You got to turn these times of rebellion into opportunities for the glory of Christ. A father must be a teacher. He must be a lover of his home, a lover of God, and someone that's constantly asking for the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So fathers, are you filled with the Spirit of God? When was the last time you honestly, I mean seriously, I got to tell you, I'm preaching to myself because, you know, praise the Lord. I'm preaching to myself because many a times I ask for the strength of the Spirit and things of that, you know. But seldomly, until recently, you know, as these verses really convicted my heart, do I really ask for a filling of your Spirit? Lord, I want to be like a fruit store. Give it to me. God, please give it to me so I can give it to others. And listen, it bleeds not in your home only. It goes to your job. It goes to your church. It goes everywhere. And who's glorified at the end of it all? The Lord. The Lord. Fathers, husbands, you have an incredible position in your home to speak of the love of Christ. And the love of Christ has always been occupied with giving even unto death. So when do you stop giving? When you die. That's when. Look, about verse 19. Are you manifesting happiness and joy in Christ through singing to the Lord? Listen, if you are filled with the Spirit of God, verse 19 says you're going to be whistling the Lord all over the place. You're going to be singing melody in your heart. You saw when the brother was playing piano, his wrist was hurting, but his heart was smiling. You know, you had that. Listen, do you sing hymns in your home? Are you whistling those hymns? If not, maybe you need a filling. Maybe it's time for a filling. It's okay. God has more than enough. You can keep asking for a filling all you want. It's like a buffet, all you can eat. He keeps giving it to you. You got to ask. You got to ask. How about verse 20? Look at what verse 20 says. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always. A father and a husband that is filled with the Spirit of God is a thankful man. He looks at his woman and says, "Man, thank you, God. She's a good wife. She's a good mother. She's a good woman." He looks at his children and says, "Lord, help me. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for giving me the strength. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you that these kids are who they are. Thank you for the opportunity to give me the children so I can grow and show them. Thank you for my kids. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for my job. Yes, even that boss that gets under my skin. Thank you for teaching me long-suffering and patience. Thank you for the people that you use. Even the enemies of God you use to bring us closer to yourself. Thank you for opportunities like that." Somebody who's filled with the Spirit is constantly singing melody in his heart to the Lord and is constantly thankful. Fathers, verse 21. Look what this is. Submitting yourselves one to another. You know, submission is not just for your wives. Where can your wife learn submission? From her husband. Where do I learn submission? From my head. I don't know of anybody who submitted more than Christ. So if I'm learning from my head, then my wife needs to learn from her head. I have to submit in many ways. You know, your children have brains, regardless of what you may think. Your wives have insight, husbands and fathers, in areas where you could never rule, ever. And you have to embrace these and extract these and learn from them and sometimes submit to what they're saying and say, "You know what? That's a really good point. You're right. I really got to change my thinking in that area." You think you're not teaching something. The world makes you think that that's surrender. That's not surrender. That's glory. That's giving glory to the Lord. That's teaching your wife what submission is. That's being obedient to God. That's being just like Christ. And when God looks down at you, husband and father, and you exercise that type of submission in your home, especially when you're wrong, God smiles upon you and says, "It's time for another filling." Because let me tell you something. Sometimes we ask for a filling and our pockets are already full. We're just not giving it. We're just not giving out what the Spirit has given us. So listen, if you want a constant filling, constantly empty your pockets. Give, give. I'm going to tell you a little secret that Mike Atwood once taught me. I probably remember it. You could never outgive God. You could try all you want, but you could never outgive God. You can't give too much. It's just impossible. But you have to learn to be giving. Exercise these fruits: joy, patience, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all these wonderful things. And if you don't have it, ask for the filling. Fathers, all eyes are on you in the home. Not only in the home, but outside the home. You have an enemy that wants to destroy your house. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationship with your children so that the world will be blind to the blessings of God. So that you would have to remain silent about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So your children could die to grow up and finally get out of the house and never come back again. That's what the enemy wants. Fathers, you can't give it to him. Reclaim the love in your home. Reclaim the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reclaim the characteristics of Christ that the children exercise, the wife exercises, and the husband exercises. And I'm going to tell you that nothing but good can come from your house. What I preach this morning is not something that it's easily obtained. It requires discipline. integrity of heart and sincerity. Sincerely ask God for a filling. Make it a discipline in your prayer. Ask Him, God, help me. Give me a filling of your Holy Spirit so that I may be the husband and the father that I should be, so that our family can be the evangelist in a dark, lost, blind world. May the Lord Jesus Christ be blessed this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we look to you, Lord. We look to you. We need a filling of your Holy Spirit. We need a filling of your Holy Spirit in our homes, Lord God, to show the entire world that there's a right way. There's a way that produces joy and happiness and gentleness and long-suffering. Wonderful fruits can come out of our homes, Lord God, but we need your Holy Spirit. We need the fruits of the Spirit to honor your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help the children to show the obedience of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help our wives and mothers to show the submission of the Lord Jesus. Help fathers and husbands to show the love of the Lord Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.